Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Wow, I'm glad you're at church today. Are you glad you're at church? I'm thrilled to be in the house of God. And I'm telling you, I love the family of Christ. I just, the body of Christ, the family that we get together every week. I love the model that we have here, that we're more than a church, we're family. That's really true. I believe that with all that I am. You guys just need to know that Michelle and I love you. We're grateful for you. And I'm grateful from a preacher standpoint, because, I mean, I'm going to preach because God's calling my life. It's a lot easier when somebody's here. So I'm glad you're here today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. If you want to watch on the screen, we have the scripture on the screen for you. But Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you're sure to die." Now, I want to stop right there, because if you've been in this church any length of time, you've heard us teach and preach on the first part of Genesis. And I believe that it's very important to always know that the Bible, the Word of God, is revelation knowledge. Yes. And it is alive. And anything alive means that it can grow. It can get bigger. And since the Word of God is alive, I can't tell you how many times I have read this and read this and read this, and then all of a sudden, wow, there's something else. There's something else. And so I love to teach from Genesis, because it's so applicable as we talk this year about the new covenant, to understand that God set things up for us to operate. And if we'll just do what He says, we got a life that's blessed. That has it has His things. And so He set this up and He placed us in the garden. He said, "Hey, watch over this garden. Watch over this earth. Watch over what's going on." And then He gives some direction. "I'm going to give you a warning now. Here's what you need to know. You can eat of everything here, but there's one area where you got to stay away from. You can't eat from this tree. And if you do, you're going to die." And the word "die," I don't know if He said it like that, but I mean, that's just kind of, the word "die," if you look up that word and you really study it in the Hebrew, we always think the definition of "die" means to cease to exist. That's just a common definition. It means it's not there. It's ceased to exist. And I want you to know that they understood that word different than the way we'll read it. They understood it to mean that it will separate. It's not going to cease to exist. It's going to separate. And what it's going to do is it's going to separate you from what you have right now. Right. Wow. It's going to separate you from, you're not going to have what you have right now. It's going to separate. Well, let me take that same word and talk about it from a New Testament perspective, that we have to die to the old man, the flesh. So what does that mean? That will cease to exist. You're not going to cease to exist from your flesh. But you have to separate. And too often times, we just think, okay, I'm going to resurrect that flesh. I'm going to bring that back to life. I understand the illustration there, but that's not the case. It's still there. The flesh is still there. After you get saved, the flesh is still there. After you start following what God said, the flesh is still there. You've just got to separate yourself from it, because it always has a pull. It always has a pull. Let's keep reading Genesis 3. I'm going to jump into the next chapter, verse 1. "The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day He asked the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?' 'Of course we may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden,' the woman said. 'It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it, or even touch it. If you do, you'll cease to exist. And I just want you to know that we don't understand sometimes in the English language really the Hebrew context of what was being said here. And Eve, I mean, I don't know if you ever hear somebody tell a story and they add to it. Don't look at my wife because she's like, you're the biggest culprit. Well, I just like to make it a little better. And so we have someone that adds to a story right here. You have Eve telling the serpent that you must not eat it or even touch it. God didn't say don't touch it. She added this story. I don't know if you ever even saw that before. And then the serpent replies when she says you're going to die. He says, you won't die. You won't die. And you won't cease to exist. You won't separate. You won't any of these things. The serpent replied to the woman, you're not going to die. God knows your eyes will be open. And as soon as you eat it, you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom it'd give her. So she took some of the fruit, ate it. And then she gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened. And we read that, and I've got to stop here for just a moment as we're going through this. Their eyes were open. What were they closed before? No, their spiritual eyes were closed, and their physical eyes, they started seeing different. They didn't see the same way. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Well, how did you feel shame of your nakedness? Because you weren't looking at your nakedness before. But now that you did what I told you not to do, you're looking through the wrong set of eyes. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool of the evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And the Lord God called out to the man, not playing hard and seek or any of that. He's what? Hey, one, two, three, four. Okay, where are you? No. He hollered, he said, hey, where are you? Where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, God, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Verse 11, who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? I want to title today's message, Who Told You? Who told you? Michelle and I were at a conference in January, 1st of February, down in Dayton, Texas. And David Hilton is one of my favorite Old Testament preachers. And he just spent just a moment right here on who told you. And I'm just telling you, it exploded inside of me that we've got a lot of voices telling us things. The title today, Who Told You? And there's so much here to see. I want to start by saying sin in what Eve did was not the act of eating the fruit. See, what it was it was the disobedience to the Lord. That's what sin is. God clearly said, here's how you live. And I want you to know that there is always an enemy trying to talk to God's people. It's not something that we can just look at and read like it happened 6,000 years ago. It happens every day. The enemy talking to God's people. Things like, go ahead, you can do that. In fact, you probably deserve that. You need to go do that. You've not lived the life. Come on, go live the life. You've heard every different term from the enemy that wants to separate you from the things of God. Come on, it's all right. You can do that. Yeah. It's all right. You've got every right to be mad. The way you were treated, every right to be frustrated. You've got every right. God gave clear instructions in His Word on how to handle issues. As clear as could be. But there's a devil, and he's always trying to give you another thought other than the thought that God said in His Word. Now, the devil used the serpent to talk to Eve. And I once again, I asked myself this question. Why did The devil used the serpent. Why didn't he just talk to her? Why? The devil used the serpent, something in the natural, to talk to her. And I've just, why doesn't that happen now? I mean, I asked myself that question, and I can tell you, I understand it now. Because Eve didn't have a BFF. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. They wasn't another person to feed wrong thinking in. So let's just use a serpent. David used an animal, or I'm sorry, David, the devil used an animal to put his words into Eve's head. He didn't have a woman at the salon sitting right next to her, filling her head with thoughts, and clearly those thoughts are against the word of God. He didn't have the TikTok videos, let alone a cell phone. He didn't have anything that could speak into her life like we have now. See, the devil uses anything he can have access to speak in. He didn't have friends on Facebook that would show her another view that's not God's plan. The devil had to use a snake. And he used that because until Adam and Eve sinned, there was no sin nature. Now, I want you to go deep with me this morning to understand a principle that I believe that can help your life in a way that it'll change outcomes for you. It'll change how you think. But the devil used a snake because Adam and Eve, when they sinned, all of a sudden had a sin nature. Before that, let me just go a little further. They didn't even have a conscience. Huh. I'm going to get into that more later. You say, well, they had to have because God built that into it. Well, it wasn't active then. But they didn't have a conscience to tell them what really was morally right or wrong because their eyes hadn't been opened to the flesh. See, it was just open to the spiritual. And now, our eyes are always open to the flesh, and we have to work to close those eyes so that we can open our eyes to the spiritual. And that's what God's plan has been. See, there was not what the Bible calls a carnal or a flesh nature that would move us on our own to right thinking. Ephesians 6, verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on all God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The devil has a bunch of strategies. He has a bunch of trickeries, if you will, in some translations. Has a lot of different ways that he wants to mess with you. Verse 12, we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. What I'm telling you is there's a fight to keep you from opening your spiritual eyes. That's not what he wants to happen, and the fight was won when he got Eve to close her spiritual eyes and open her physical eyes. And we've had a fight ever since to look through the right set of eyes. We're fighting against wrong thoughts all day long. We're fighting. We're fighting. We're fighting. They're coming from every angle. I'm just telling you, you can't even drive down the highway without a wrong thought coming. And how did that thought come? Because something entered the physical eyes, the physical ears. And it entered, and it's a battle going on to keep you from entering the spiritual realm. Every angle they're coming, thoughts are like, where? And I know as a Christian, you're like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? It came from the wrong eyes. And not separating yourself, are you getting this, from the flesh. The title today, who told you? Who are you listening to? Adam and Eve acted on the word that was put in their head. Every day there are thoughts in our head about our neighbor, about our coworker, about our family members, about our bosses. Wrong thoughts. Question is, who told you? the thoughts that's in you. Who told you that about them? Who told you? When you sit and read for hours on Facebook or on any social media outlet, you get what the world or whatever you're reading from that source has accepted as right. That's what you get. And I know that everyone's doing this to a degree because you're not just in your Bible all day long, and I understand that. So what source that you are receiving information through your physical eyes, you're going to have to learn to ask a question: who's telling you what you're reading? Yeah. It's not just what you're reading, it's who told you through that avenue. Now, I just have got to a place, and I work on it all the time, where I've just got to stop and say, okay, who's talking to me right now? If I'm reading a book, if I'm watching a video, even a sermon, who's talking to me right now? Who told me this? What did God say about the attitude that you're in right now? What did God say about the thoughts you're thinking at any moment? What did God say about what you're doing right now as a result of what you just listened to? All of that is a result of what your thought was based on what you received. And really, when you go back, it's who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that thought? God asked in verse 9, where are you? Where are you? He's not wondering where you are, but he asked, where are you? And then in verse 11, in chapter 3, he said, who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you? That's what he asked Adam. But what we've got to do is we've got to learn to ask those questions of ourselves. Where am I at right now? Where am I? And who told me what I'm thinking right now? See, we all know that God is omni. He's everywhere at all times. So his presence is never gone. It's just not accessed. We don't access his presence because someone else has been, or some other thing has, really the enemy has, been feeding into us. And as that starts happening, and you ask the question, where are you? That's really a God question. He's asking you, where are you? Not because he doesn't know where you are, but he wants you to know where you are. So if you'd ask yourself that question right now, where are you? Well, you could say, well, I'm right here in church and I'm listening to a message. I get that, but it's deeper than that. Where are you in relation to hearing from God? Or where are you in relation to hearing from the enemy? And I'm just kind of a black and white guy, so I've got to a point where, is that a God thought or is that an enemy thought? Because I need to know, because it's going to make a difference in what works for my life. So what am I listening to? Is that going to get me closer to God, or is that going to lead me further away? If it's a God thought, then I'm all about talking to him about it. If it's not a God thought, then I'm all about hiding from him about it. I'm not going to go in and be able to worship him in the act of whatever that thought was that's making me produce what I'm doing now. He wants Adam to know where Adam is. He's wanting you to know where you are, and you have to ask yourself the question. God's asking all the time, know where you are. Church, we as God's children are going to have to start asking ourselves God questions. Whew, where am I right now? Who is talking to me? And why is this thought in my head? You're out to eat with your friends and the waitress messes up your order. You better ask yourself, but where am I right now? Where am I in my head? Because right now, the food's not on my table. It's not what I just ordered. And God talked real clearly about how to handle life. But you start handling it in a way that came to your mind. And my question is, who told you to say what you just said to that waitress? Was that God that gave you that thought to help her and to see her to another place? Closer to him? Or was it like, I hate Sunday afternoon church crowds because they're the worst of the worst. And you ask any restaurant and they'll tell you Sunday afternoon is the lowest tipping and the meanest people. Why? Because we're the one that there's a battle on all the time about how you're going to think. And we've got God's people losing every battle because they're not asking the right question. Who told you that? Who told you to respond that way? Our fight's not against flesh and blood. Your fight's not against your boss. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your waitress. It's not against what food got delivered. It's not against your neighbor. It's not against your family. It's not against your kid's school teacher. But see, the way that coach did, your fight's not against the coach. Your fight is against the thought that you're having. And my question is, who told you that? This is a giant question. There's an evil spirit in the situation that wants to ruin your day. And he's wanting to block you from the right eyes being open. He wants to get you full of anger, grief, disappointment, frustration. He wants to get as close as he can to the inside of you and restrain you from doing the right thing. Before you start doing it, he wants to get your thought going in a place that won't allow you to do it. Come on, face gets red, that neck starts swelling. You just start. I know that you know what I'm talking about. Where did that thought come from? You better stop and ask yourself the question, who told me this? Who told that thought that? We've got to see this. Matthew 16, Jesus is telling his disciples about what's going to happen. And Peter pulls Jesus aside and gives him a real talking to. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, but Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. That's what Peter did to Jesus. Come on. Pulled him aside and starts to reprimand him. In verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Now, Jesus calls this out. See, he knew who was talking to him, and it wasn't Peter. Wow. Wow. The Bible makes so much sense when you understand Genesis. Come on, this is not a conversation between flesh and blood. Peter's just being used, just like a serpent was used. Peter was no different than your friend giving you advice. There are just times that you have to realize that it's not your friend. And you're mad at your friend because of what they said, and you need to know there's an enemy that was just persuading, just like the enemy persuaded a serpent because he didn't have you there. Didn't have a person there to tell him. It's a voice coming from something that's not flesh and blood. Are you seeing this? And we're always mad at the flesh and blood situations, and we're losing the understanding that that's the serpent. That's the way the enemy works. That's the devil. He wants you messed up. And there is a mighty battle going on in the spiritual realm that's overflowing into the physical, trying to get you to not act right. You got to know who's telling you this. Jesus knew. It'd have been real easy for Jesus to say, well, Peter, maybe you're right. And then Peter sways Jesus. Probably I need to change my thinking and give in. I know that I've been saying a lot of stuff lately, but I don't even know why I said it. Well, I can tell you why he said it, because God told him. And I know why you said, no, I'm not going there, and no, I'm not doing that. It's because God told you. But the next thing you hear is somebody else trying to tell you it's okay. They're just very legalistic. They just don't think like we. It's not a big deal. You can still be saved. You can still go and act like this. You can still go and party and have fun with everybody. You can still do all of that. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm just asking you to ask yourself this question. Who told you that? Who told you that? Well, my mom did. Well, the preacher did. No, no, no. Take this away from me and ask God that question. Hey, God, did you tell me that? But you're blaming everybody else. Romans chapter 8. Passage is written to the Christians in Rome here. In Romans 8, verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Now, let me just back up here. He's talking to Christians. This is to us. Who have been born again. We've accepted Jesus into our heart and life. And here is what he says. Come on, you got to get. Christian people, those who are dominated by the sinful nature. Do you know you can be a Christian and be dominated by the sinful nature? They think about sinful things. The rest of that. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. You know, you can't please God when you're letting your sinful nature control you. When you're looking through the wrong set of eyes, that's your sinful nature. That all happened when sin entered. Verse 9, but you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who don't have the Spirit of Christ living in them don't belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. He will give you life to do the right thing. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. If you live by its dictates, because there are going to be urges, you're going to separate, you're going to die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you'll live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Do you have the title yet? Who told you what you're thinking? Who are you listening to? Here's what God says about me and how He told me to handle life. I can be dominated by the sinful nature, or I have a choice to be dominated, to listen to, and to be controlled. It says controlled by the Holy Spirit. So you think of what pleases Him and you let the Holy Spirit control you. God wants you, hear this. Christians need to hear this. God wants you to live a blessed life. A life full of joy and in peace. We always look at a blessed life pertaining to the flesh. But He's wanting you to live a blessed life with the right eyes. Spiritually, that then can overflow into the physical, but not bless you in the physical and hope it'll overflow into the spiritual. That's not the way it works. And so many teach prosperity all based on the physical. Prosperity without starting in the spiritual will never produce in the physical. I see people get blessed all the time financially and they get further and further away from God. Why? Because they just saw prosperity message with the wrong eyes. You've got to know God wants to bless you, but He wants you to have a supernatural peace. He wants you to have a supernatural joy, regardless of circumstances. And then when you can handle plain old money, you might get some more. Because in doing the principles of the Word, they work every time. But the Word is spiritual, and that's the way it started. And the whole reason why we do what it says, because it prospers us. Spiritually, God wants you to live a life full of joy. And if you're not doing that, then I question today, who are you listening to? Are you bitter? Are you mad? Are you angry? Are you hurt? Are you disappointed? God said, I'm going to bless you. Whatever you put your hands to will be blessed. Here's what I'm going to do. All right, well, if you're not that, then something's wrong. And you need to ask some questions. Some questions. The enemy says, nothing ever works for me. Everybody's always mean to me. You, my spouse, they ain't ever going to change. This marriage is never going to work. The enemy will tell you through someone else when you start telling them that, yeah, they don't love you. They're mean. And then you'll even have a friend who'll tell you, I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't be treated that way. I'd kick them to the curb right now. God said in 2 Timothy 2:21, you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. And I hear people all the time, I'm tired of being used. It's only in being used that God said you'll be fit for the kingdom of God. You can't use God's people too much. Well, they're taking advantage of me. What voice are you listening to? Who told you that?
The enemy will say, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being used. Come on, you need that, that thought. You need to have that person. You need to have that. I'm tired of being used. My boss uses me, expects me to do everything, and he just asks for so much more than I even want to do. And I'm tired of being used. And what I'm telling you is God says, in this job, you have an assignment to set a standard where God is using you, and it's through that that you're going to bless people, and in bless people, you're going to teach them a kingdom principle, and to teach them a kingdom principle, then I will have glory, honor, and victory in their life. Come on, why are we thinking the way we're thinking? Because somebody's telling us to think wrong. The Word of God didn't tell you that. That job's just an assignment. Who's telling you to do what you're doing? Well, my life just feels like it's in ruins right now. Hurt, disappointments, and control of my day, living separated from the world. It's because you're listening to the wrong voice. You talking to somebody who is not feeding you what you need to be fed, what I'm telling you is talk to God. He's still there. God wants to be with you. The whole vision this year is God wants to be with us. Melanie spoke last week on an overwhelming victory. It was phenomenal. Overwhelming victory can be yours when you know where you are and who you're listening to. God asks you to ask yourself this question. God wants you to realize when you're hiding from Him, because here's the fact. So many Christians hide from God and they don't even know they're in it. I didn't even realize I was hiding from God. Everything, well, I've just been really busy lately. That's my favorite excuse. I've just been really busy lately. Well, you're being busy about the wrong thing. You better watch your busyness. Don't use it as an excuse because you're just listening to the wrong voice. God wants you to ask that question. God asked us to take care of our area. Right here, this. Not just church, but where we are in our lives. God asks you to take care of your area. And you'll do that by knowing who you're listening to. Because you can't take care of your area when you're listening to the wrong person. You just can't. It's not possible. God asks us to take care of it. And we need to know that we have an ability. We're overwhelmingly victorious. We have everything that is needed to live a life that will honor God and show others how good He is. We have everything that's needed. But you need to know, just as equally available is the wrong voice. Just as equally available. Sin separated Adam and Eve from God. God worked time and time and time again to restore relation. He set up sacrifices to restore. I just want to be with my people. He built the temple so God could be with man. Then the New Testament, the New Covenant, Jesus came. So once again, we can live close to God. God wants to be with you. Yeah. Well, there's just no way. He just doesn't know me. Yes, He does. You're just listening to the wrong voice. He always wanted to be with you. He always wants to be with you. He is making heaven right now to prepare you a place that you could be with Him. He wants to be with you. Is that not cool? Well, so-and-so doesn't want to be with me. I'm not talking about so-and-so. I'm talking about God. He wants to be with you. He has always. So don't hide from Him. And here's the way you'll hide. Not even recognizing where you're at. That's why He said, where are you? You have to ask yourself that question. Where am I? Where am I right now in my thoughts? And then when you ask yourself where you're at in your thoughts, you got to ask yourself who told you that thought. Those questions go hand in hand. Here's the problem, and I did a whole sermon on this a few weeks ago. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As we end this thing up, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, hey, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. Right there at that moment, they had an option. They left their nets, and they followed Him. A little further up the shore, He saw two other brothers, James, John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing nets. He called to them to come too. Immediately, they followed Him, leaving their boat and their father behind. What they left was their way of life. Let me just say it like this. They separated. They died to an old way. And they said, I'm doing it different. I'm separating. It didn't mean they weren't ever going to fish again. Come on, read the rest of the story.
But they separated themselves from that being what their whole day was operated by. Okay, the weather's getting good. We need to push out. We need to do this right now. And everything they centered themselves around was flesh eyes. When they went with Jesus, he opened their eyes to a whole different way of living life. They knew who told them. Come on, you don't add a little Jesus to your way of life. You leave your life.
That's so good. That's so good.
And you change the way that you once were. You listen to a different voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's who you're listening to. Don't just add Jesus to your anger and bitterness. Well, I read my Bible every morning. Yeah, and you go and act like a jerk the rest of the day. Why? Because your thoughts weren't set on what you were reading that morning. You just did a duty. I just went to church for a duty. I want to tell you, my personal testimony, I used to do things different. I talked to my wife different than the way I talk to her now. See, I recognized where I was, and I recognized that I was listening to the wrong input. I quit yelling at the ref years ago. I quit treating the waitress like the world does. Because I asked myself the question. I started allowing the Lord to use me and left where I was and listened to a different voice. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Why would you do that? Because that's what you ought to do. Well, I'm not him. I know you're not listening to him either. Who told you that? Who told you that? There's so much more to this. Let me plant a little thought because I got to get into more of this in another sermon. Going back to Genesis 3:11, who told you that you were naked? Do you know that everyone assumes that it was Satan that told them, but there's no scriptural evidence anywhere that says that Satan told them that they were naked? Just a thought here. No, none. It was their conscience that told them. Their conscience. See, they had already, at that point, eyes had been opened to a different way of thinking right then. And you've got to handle who you're going to listen to because our eyes have been opened to flesh. And the first step and the biggest step for you to do something with, and I'm going to give you this to leave you with, and you can take this, and we'll get into more of them, some 1, 2, 3s later. But here's the first thing you got to know, and the first step's the biggest step. For you to have a different life and do something today, you've got to quit blaming everybody else for why you're where you're at. You've got to quit blaming it. Boy, it's because of the way I was treated as a kid. It's because I'm not saying that you weren't treated wrong. But the first step to becoming free is to accept responsibility. That's it. You're the only one that can fix you when you realize you're the problem. Not probably what you expected today, but you are the problem. I'm just telling you, if I'm your problem, here's what you need to know. You can't fix me. When you recognize you're the problem, and I'm just done with everybody blaming everybody else. You can't fix everybody else, and the enemy knows that. And when you realize that you're not going to fix everybody else, you're only going to fix you, then you're not going to let other people control you.
Right. So good, Ashley.
You can let them speak into you only when it's recognized by the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, that's me, that's me. That's me. And how do we live? We live by the Holy Spirit controlling us because that's the life we want. We don't want to live controlled or dominated by the sinful nature. And you have an option. You have a choice. And you can keep blaming everybody else for why you're where you're at. But I want you to know, until you come to a point of recognizing, I'm not blaming anybody else. See, Satan can do nothing without your consent. Sure, other people have hurt you, but it's your choice whether you're going to become bitter or better. Your choice. I want to jump right into the next one, but I'm going to end right there. So y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.